Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Ralph. 0-1 for the rest of the show. I'm 1-0. I'm completely torn on this, so I'm going to try to have you guys convince me of my pick one way or the other. I've changed my mind about four times. The spread is 3, Cowboys favored, and the over-under point total right now is 42.5. Where are you going and why?
You know, I would not look at it from a... I'm not going to look from the point spread perspective just because I don't have a good feel on the Giants being able to put up a ton of points, the Cowboys being able to put up a ton of points. But I will, I do think the Cowboys win this football game. All right. I do think they win this football game. And the reason is, I mean, all you got to do is you go back, just go back to how these teams have played. First of all, they've been low scoring games, a lot of them. And just go back to last year. Cowboys won a 19-3 game against the Giants last year. That's pretty low scoring, right? But also the other factor. In the two games Dak faced the Giants, those just happened to be his two highest yardage total games of the year. 268 and 332. Mm. One of those 332 games was with Alfred Morris running. This is a defense that he kind of has, you know, can figure out how to score against, at least put yards up against. There were games where he doesn't score against this team. They had that low-scoring game a couple years ago. But he does put yards up against them. So I would expect a little bit better game from him than he had last week. Gosh, I hope so, because he was terrible last week. But I do expect the Cowboys to win this game.
No score pick?
You don't have to.
17-10.
Ooh, okay. Dub, who wins and why?
I think the Cowboys win 24-17. I think the Giants will probably have an opportunity to tie the game on the final possession, but hopefully the defense stands up strong. I just think that the Giants are going to overcommit. They saw how bad Dak Prescott was in week one. I'm sure they saw the same film we did, and they're going to say 50%. Let's dial it up to 60%. Let's put as many guys in the box until he proves that he can beat us. You know, from a standpoint for Dak Prescott, this is an unbelievable opportunity to showcase your skills in a high-pressure situation, but also one where, like, you have all the advantages. You know, as a quarterback, don't you want to see 8- and 9-man boxes so that you're like,
yeah,
I know my guys are one-on-one on the outside? If you have any confidence in yourself as a quarterback, you're drooling at the prospect that teams would challenge you in this way. So I think Dak Prescott will rise to the challenge. I hope that the Cowboys and the idea that they have a few more wrinkles will manifest itself when they're not finding themselves in 3rd and 7 or worse situations on every third down in the game. I do believe that that maybe played a small part into it, but either way, like, I want to see Dak Prescott have a big game, and I'd also like to see guys be put in unique positions that we haven't seen them put in a ton, and I'd like to see a little bit less of the two tight ends.
Yeah, we'd all like to see it.
Yep.
The question is, do you believe it can happen?
I do.
Okay.
I do. As angry as I was, and as angry as all of us were with Jason Garrett, I will not, and no one should dispute that Dak Prescott was bad in week one.
Right.
That is also true. Now, the two things can be true together.
Yes.
Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan can have called a bad game, and Dak Prescott can have also executed poorly the good plays that they called. But all that needs to work in tandem. I do think, again, they're going to have more opportunities to showcase their full playbook, because your full playbook is not available to you on 3rd and 7. That's just any offensive coordinator will tell you you're dumbed down in that regard. So I think the Cowboys will be able to do a little bit more against this Giants defense, and I think they'll prevail ultimately 24-17.
I had the Giants picked with, you know, confidence every single day until yesterday, because I was like, this Cowboys offense isn't going to be that much better. The Giants will score 23. I know that Eli Manning is tremendously overrated, but they have the best weapons in the NFC East. They have the best weapons in the division, and their defense fell off last year, but it's still pretty solid. And then I started thinking about Olivier Vernon being gone. And then I started thinking about Tank against Eric Flowers. And then I started thinking and listening to Scott Linehan talk about all the gadgets and all the creativity that they saved because they were in second and third and long situations. So I think you're going to see a satisfactory amount of creativity. I think you're going to see Dak have to be sharper. It can't get worse. Obviously, we have the tremendous matchup with Tank against Flowers. And hopefully, Saquon and Zeke cancel each other out. Odell can break the whole thing open. They got the game-breaker advantage. There's no doubt about it. But at home, I think I even have an exact ending for this one. And it's directly opposite of Bassick's. Brett Maher will hit a bomb to win it at the end. 23-20 Cowboys. They will end up winning at the very end. It'll be a nail biter. But I had the Giants. I could very well come in here Monday and say this is why you trust your gut instinct, because I don't have faith in Dak in the passing game. But I do think the creativity is coming out. I do think it's coming out. And Maher will win it with a bomb at the very end. Cowboys will go 1-1.
And I'll say this, since we didn't talk a lot about the defense. Like, yes, the Giants have a lot of weapons. They still have Eli Manning, who will still throw you two to three passes a game that can be intercepted. I do like the Cowboys, despite the fact that we haven't really seen a great example of it. I think the Cowboys' ball skills in this secondary are superior to what their ball skills have been probably in any of the last 3 years, top to bottom.
Now, you can argue, let's talk about the different matchups. You worry about Snacks Harrison up the middle.
Yep.
Like the Cowboys, I picked them to lose against Carolina because of up the middle. Because even though Joe Looney, by all accounts, played well, Snacks Harrison is a monster. They have the two best players in the secondary when you match up the secondaries.
Collins.
So, Collins and Jenkins. Janoris Jenkins is a baller. He shut down Dez Bryant throughout Dez's final years here, and Landon Collins can hurt people. Now, they limited Jacksonville to 15 points. Jacksonville is Blake Bortles. You know, what are you going to do? But when you look at tendencies in this game, you know, from the front office notes that I had sent to me, and Chop, you have a lot of good ones as well. The front office eye.
Mm-hmm.
Flowers, again, was terrible last week. He is our Chaz Green. You have to play Eli Manning for all the underthrows. And again, these are notes sent to me. Have to play Manning for all the underthrows. When you look at his throw chart, outside the numbers is no longer his friend. He is not going to throw it outside the numbers. He's going to throw for a high percentage, just won't get many yards. The boys do not have great skill players. They gained 70 yards after the catch last week against Carolina. That's it, 70. They have one of the best backs in the NFL, but they can't get going on first down.
He was the least successful running back on first down last week.
3.04 yards on first down last week. That's 31st in the NFL.
And the reason for that is twofold. One, they may or may not respect Dak throwing, but also they know what's coming. See, every other team in the NFL but the Cowboys on Monday gets an analytics sheet. Every team in the NFL except the Cowboys does. And what that tells you is exactly what this team does on first and 10, first and 5. What they do from this package, what they do from that package.
We just believe if we do it well enough, you can't stop it.
And the Cowboys don't do that because they don't have an analytics department, do they, over there? I mean, they might, but nobody knows where it is. Doesn't even have an office. Doesn't have a nameplate. They don't have an extension. They don't have a phone. Nobody knows who works there. It's probably an intern.
They can't get the ball down the field. In the last 17 games, they've made 25 plays over 25 yards. That's it. 17 games, and we talk about first down. Last year, the Cowboys 8-8 in their last game against the Giants on first down throws. They were 8-4-8. They averaged 10 yards per attempt. So okay, and then Saquon, he had two runs only for over 10 yards, and then he busted that one out. Saquon in the passing game last week, 6 targets, 2 catches, 22 yards. Both on third down, and then Zeke only had 4 targets, 3 catches, 17 yards. That's not good enough. Jason Witten on the Dan Patrick Show with a suggestion for the Cowboys offense starting Sunday night.
I think you're going to see more of the run pass options, finding those ways and early downs. You know, I'm studying the Chicago game. That's who we call next week. And you see Matt Nagy do a lot of that for the quarterback. And it's just high percentage throw and catch that they stay ahead of the chains. And, you know, I think back going back to that formula of winning on first down and second down, well, it's not as easy just handing it off all the time. I mean, Sometimes you got to use that in the passing game. So that's fair to say. I think they're well aware that they're going to have those type of looks, those dirty eight-man fronts, and finding ways to get those chunks on the outside. Beasley showed that he can do a lot of different things. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to have those explosive plays, and that's I'm sure they're studying that right now to say, hey, that's where our attention we need to be better at.
Dub, you found some Pat Shurmur tendencies?
Yeah, I wish I could say I found it, but shout out to Alan Yu, who writes for Cover One, is a website who he looks at kind of the analytics. He does a lot of film stuff, and he found something spectacular, I think, that really is a deep dive into the All-22 film. According to his article on Cover One, he writes, this is how you can pick up on some of the tendencies by Giants play caller Pat Shurmur. He writes, in recent years, the Cowboys' defense has contained their NFC East rivals. However, the Giants reinvested their offensive line and drafted an athletic marvel in Saquon Barkley. Here's a look at what Dallas' hot boys and the rest of the unit should expect from Pat Shurmur's game plan. Play calling tendencies. After watching film of the Giants' Week 1 loss to Jacksonville, I observe a tendency in Shurmur's play calling. I then compared this behavior to a random Vikings game in 2017 to confirm my findings. Here's what he found. Throughout multiple points in the contest in Week 1, Pat Shurmur deployed the exact same concept either on consecutive plays or within a few plays of each other when the first play went for decent to big gains. He says there were at least five instances this past Sunday, often at the beginning of drives and when the initial play call produced a big gain, that Pat Shurmur would go back to the same play. He said at the start of New York's two-minute offense near the end of the first half, Shurmur dialed up a stick dip.
That's fine. We don't need the exact plays.
Okay.
The bottom line is he'll go back-to-back. Right?
So what if he says, succeeds, he'll go back-to-back or within two or three plays. So we found five separate instances against the Jaguars, all right? One was a post-dig combo from Odell Beckham where he caught it for 15 yards. Two plays later, they ran the exact same concept with a slightly different formation, but all the same guys on the field, okay? A couple plays later, Evan Ingram catches a swing pass on a 3rd-and-16 that goes for a first down. Three plays later, they run the exact same play and give the ball to Ingram, who converts on a 3rd-and-7. Later on in the game, they run a play with Saquon Barkley, a swing sweep to the outside that goes for 8. Next play, they run the exact same play.
All right, so they'll go back-to-back. So keep that in mind. If Sunday night we're all on Twitter and they go back-to-back or maybe a couple plays later off of something that was successful, 3:30 pregame, live from the Miller Lite West Plaza, Ari Temkin and Jesse Holly. You're going to have your usual lineup, Jason Garrett, Jerry Jones, Brad Sham, Loffenberg, Spagnola, Broadus, Scales, Mike Fisher, and then they will have the special guest Michelle Tafoya and Jason Taylor live. Got something else real quick?
Yeah, I just want to say what I take from all that is Jason Garrett and the Cowboys coaching staff are going to have an opportunity to make an adjustment within the game as they see this happening. If there's a play that the Giants break off for 8 to 10 yards, I hope that the Cowboys will understand that Shurmur might go back to that play and take advantage when they do. That's an opportunity there for them.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.